on this episode of Still Loading.
Don't blame me! You're the boothead who got us lost!
Yeah, I ought to boot you. I'm hungry!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, it is Captain N, baby. I say it every time we have a Captain N episode, but I'm always so happy we're covering another classic episode of Captain N. And this week on the show, we are talking about Episode 2, Season 9, Having a Ball. But of course, I can't do this alone. My co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing today?
Woohoo! I am the mo host with the most allergies.
Yeah, listeners, if you hear Dexter sound any like congested or anything like that, please be kind. It has been It's been a hell of a week for both of us between his allergies and my kid deciding I don't want to sleep again. It's just been a wonderful time, but here we are doing our Captain Endist, trying our Captain N hardest, Nardist. That doesn't work. But we are here talking about Captain N Having a Ball, Season 2, Episode 9. And I'll be honest, Dexter. So I know I usually throw it over to you, be like, what's some preliminary thoughts? You know, like, what's something that sticks out to you? I think this is the best episode of Season 2. That's what sticks out to me. Hands down, the best episode of Season 2 so far. But what about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. But this is one of those, this will go down as one of those arguments that people have about sequels for movies. Like, Oh, the sequel's the better than the original. But then there's people that are like, well, that sequel wouldn't be as good if you didn't appreciate what happened in the first one. Like, if you just watched the second one by itself. I think this might be similar in the sense that because there's so many callbacks in this particular episode that it makes it really fun and really awesome. But I also wonder if I would appreciate it as much had we not sat through all of season one and the previous 8 episodes of season 2.
Oh, I think we definitely would have, because the callbacks are such an inconsequential part to the overall story. Like, the reason there's callbacks is consequential. It's very important for the progression of this episode to occur. But in general, like, all the callbacks, when you see all the previous characters, it's literally just fan service. It's weird that there's fan service in a Captain N episode, but here we are seeing fan service in a Captain N episode. This episode is just wild. So the overall premise of Having a Ball is that first I was like, what do you mean? Why is there Having a Ball has nothing to do with what happens in the episode? Then I felt really fucking stupid because it literally is the thing we're talking about. In a nutshell, just so listeners can kind of follow along with the overall plot of it. King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard break off from Mother Brain. We'll explain why and all the details of everything later on, but they break off from Mother Brain. They steal 2 out of the 3 portions of the Triforce, and that weakens Princess Zelda, which I did not know was from Zelda lore, but okay. So now the N team has to go get back the pieces of the Triforce from King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, so that way they can restore Hyrule to its beauty and also save Princess Zelda. Did I say Princess Lana was weakened?
I think you said Zelda.
Did I? Okay. Just in case I screwed up, listeners, it's Princess Zelda getting weakened, and Princess Lana and the N team have to go help and save her. But yeah, man, this episode is just, it's, I think it's the best King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard have been since like early season one, like early to mid season one. They have so like I was watching this and you know how and listeners, for those who have followed the season for the series we've been doing for a while, you know, we always try to find some goofy still image and Dexter will turn it into a thumbnail for the episode. There was so many moments in this episode that I'm like, that's the artwork for this episode. There's so many. I genuinely don't know which to choose. There is eggplant. Like in my opinion, there's three that stuck out. And let me know if you thought of any others. There's Eggplant Wizard losing the top of his little eggplant head, like his little stem. So he's just got this bald spot on the top of his head. Then there is King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard dressed up as like 80s rock stars is the best I can, like with mutton chops and like mohawks and create like Macho Man Randy Savage sunglasses, and it's just wild. And then the third one is that there is a ball, like a royal ball that's occurring, hence the episode title having a ball, and they're dressed up in like Victorian garb, and it's so bizarre seeing them in those outfits.
I've also got it playing in the background. There's also Eggplant Wizard dancing with tomatoes with like rocket legs.
Oh, yes. At the end of the episode, this whole episode, it has so many moments in it where I was just blown away by what I was seeing. So let's dive into it. The beginning of the episode begins, it's midnight on Hyrule, and you see an interior of, I guess, the throne room. I'm not really quite sure, but it's the throne with the three different portions of the Triforce, which look nothing like anything from the TV or from the game, but whatever, you know, you kind of forgive it, I guess. And King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are going through different warp zones because they want to steal parts of the Triforce for Mother Brain, or at the very least, as we find out later, turn off the alarm system. There's apparently an alarm system that is guarding the Triforce, and as they're, you know, flying through the warp zone, like the warp zone to wherever, Eggplant Wizard flies, like literally gets shot out of one warp zone and gets propelled into another, and
just his head,
the rest of his body is stuck on the other side, and he's in the middle of a polo match.
Yeah, I was like, was there a polo game on NES?
I don't think there was.
I was trying to figure out what that was supposed to be referencing, because I was like, don't think there is, like, and we're talking about not water polo, which I would believe that would be an NES game, even though I don't think that exists either, but like full-on people riding horses polo.
I'm looking at the clip of the episode now. I cannot stop laughing at Eggplant Wizard's like bald patch from losing his stem. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Well, not only that, but if I had to take one knock against this episode, is that the first 2 to 3 minutes feels super stretched out. It feels like they had 17 minutes worth of content and they had to squeeze it into a 20 minute episode. And because when Eggplant Wizard is stuck in the warp zone, his head is stuck in the polo match, King Hippo is pulling on him and they have to cycle through the sound effect. I should have counted it, but it was like 6 or 7 times of like the cartoonish like
I noticed that too.
I just wrote my notes. This is awkward.
It was taking so long to do. They do finally get out and they get into Hyrule, and they're trying to get from the warp zone. They're trying to get the Triforce, excuse me. They try to pull off, they try to get close to the throne, only to have the alarm go off and literally shit just starts firing everywhere. But there's apparently some spell that Mother Brain gave them in order to disarm it, and King Hippo doesn't remember it, and he just keeps pulling papers out of his pants trying to find, like, he wrote it down somewhere and he can't quite remember. And I absolutely love, like, King or Eggplant Wizard is so pissed off at him, and at 3 minutes and 24 seconds the glare he is giving King Hippo is legendary. Like, such a strong grimace on his face. His eye is squinting so angrily in the front half, like his forehead of his eggplant. I don't know what you would call it. Is so far over his eye. It's one of the most insane visuals I think I've seen of season two.
Yeah, that would be, that was another possible thumbnail. Just that face. It feels so much like a troll face you would see on social media, like the way he's squinting with that one eye.
I feel like I need to turn that into an emote for my Twitch stream or for like my Discord.
That would be perfect.
I kind of think that needs to happen. Dexter, get on that for me.
Yes, definitely. I also have to point out, because the aesthetic of this show is just on another level, no pun intended, or maybe I'll intend the pun here, but like the planet design of Hyrule, it looks like a crown. So like it's like a planet with a crown surrounding it. And it just makes me think of Kingdom Hearts and like the planet design on Kingdom Hearts, how like cartoonish they are. Like planets don't work like that, but like just aesthetically, I always think it's hilarious.
And I also, in the universe, it does.
Yeah, that's right. And once again, the furniture in Video Land, whoever's designing the furniture needs to be fired, because that throne looks so uncomfortable.
It does. I don't understand. It's so bizarre looking. And like the one, there's like two orbs on the end of each of the armrests, and one has like a claw holding it and the other just doesn't. There's like no symmetry to it. I don't get it. So King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard come in, they set off the alarm, shit goes crazy, so they panic and they leave. But because this is at midnight, and they kind of hint that this is not the first time they've tried to steal the Triforce, because Princess Zelda comes in and says, I'm done having this alarm go off every single night. I'm turning the alarm off. Link, you can organize with the guards. And he's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to go back to bed. You stay and organize with the guards. I am noticing throughout this season, though, dude, there is so many moments, like there's so much crossover with the Zelda cartoon in this show this season.
Yeah, they definitely seem to lean into it, especially in this episode, having not only having them cameo, but being like legitimate characters that fight alongside the end team on a semi-regular basis.
They show up in the next episode too. Like they have prominent roles. I think I even double checked on it. I will look up real quick the episode list, but I'm pretty sure they've been in like the vast majority of the last few episodes.
Yeah.
But I'll double check. I'm typing. If you can hear me typing, listeners, that's what it is. I was trying to look up the episode list real quick.
Science. Yeah,
it's science.
Science is happening.
So Mother Brain sees that the alarm has been turned off and decides, I don't need King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard anymore, and just pull cubes them away. You know, like they hug each other, and she takes her tentacle, like stiffens it up, gross, into a pool cube, and shoots them out of her lair, and then she decides to turn into a tank.
General Mother Brain. I loved it.
She calls herself.
Yes, I put in my notes, I need a General Mother Brain toy, because she suits up, I guess you could say, like a Megazord, like Power Rangers, just like decks out in like a tank and everything. She looks like if Mother Brain had a crossover with the Technodrome from Ninja Turtles. I was like, oh my god, I need this toy. I need a Mother Brain, General Mother Brain toy.
But General Mother Brain would have been so we need her in Smash.
Yes, that would be amazing. Or somehow like make a variant of the Metroid stage that's like that has this version of Mother Brain in the background. I would love that.
So
and I also wanted to jump back really quick, because we're talking about how this episode is chock full of references. If you've been following the show, when Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo are looking for the warp zone to Hyrule, and they're arguing about being lost, King Hippo says, Mother's brain said to turn right at the mirror zone. And left. And I was like, oh, that's a reference to the mirror zone episode, which that episode was already full of like rules that they set and then break because it was really weird. But like, there shouldn't be a warp zone to the mirror zone unless it's a mirror, right? I thought that was the whole conceit of it. But
you know, you would assume, but I don't pretend to understand this show at all. Yeah. As much as we have devoted Dexter at this point, by the time these episodes come out in, I guess these are due out in April and May, the episodes we're recording today, a little behind the scenes, listeners, they're due out in April and May, we will have been doing the series for almost 2 years, and I don't know what we've done with our lives. We are the authority on Captain N. But yeah, so they cut to, you know, after King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard basically are like, well, Mother Brain doesn't want us. What are we going to do? And Eggplant Wizard is like, I know, we'll join the N team. And King Hippo is very shocked by this. I do too. I thought that would have been much, like, I liked that plot. Like, I liked that plot point. But then it cuts to the Palace of Power. They're doing some type of weird skill competition. And I never understood this one shot. It's around 6.5 minutes, like 6 minutes and like 30 some odd seconds into the episode. Princess Lana, Kevin, and Simon are talking out like in the courtyard or something like that. And Princess Lana's, you know, reminiscing about all the royal balls they would have, you know, the wonderful dances, the beautiful, you know, outfits that everyone would wear, the dresses, the suits and all this other stuff. And they're all like muddied up. I forget why. Do you remember why they're all muddied? Were they playing a game or something?
Yes, I had to go back too, because I was like, wait, I think they passed over it quickly. As soon as they come back out of the warp zone, Kevin's like, another great adventure in Congo land, huh, guys? Or something like that. So they must have, that's what it was. Basically like the end of, we just missed out on an adventure of them doing something in Congo land.
Well, and like at 6 minutes and 35 seconds in, you know, they're talking about this after, you know, after finishing up their adventures at Congo land.
Yeah, and Simon and Lana they seem like upset by this, even though like Kevin's excited. And that's why they're talking about it. Like, this isn't how it used to be.
Yep. And what's weird, though, is at the 6 minutes and 35 seconds, they're talking. Kevin looks over to his left, you know, the right, our right on the screen, and just shoots something. No explanation. I genuinely don't know what it is that he shot. Like, I'm looking at a still of it now, and it just looks like, I think I even wrote it down. Hold on. What did I write about what he shot? I'm like, why? I wrote, what the fuck? Why did Kevin randomly shoot a dildo tower? Because it just doesn't look like, I don't know what it's supposed to be. It's never addressed. There's never any rhyme or reason as to why he shoots it. He just fucking shoots it. And I don't get it.
I think in the script, it was probably something like Kevin tries to get their attention because they're wallowing in like, each other, like Lana and Simon are like, oh, and all mopey. And I think the intention was to like, hey, lighten up, guys, you know, like do something like that. But it's really awkward. And they also insert a sound clip of, I think it's supposed to be Simon. It doesn't sound like him going, yow, after he shoots the the decoration, the dildo tower. But I'm like the mouth flap doesn't match it, and the scream sounds a little bit more like Kevin than Simon, but I'm sure it's supposed to be Simon. I don't know. It was really weird.
I don't understand it in the slightest. It confuses me. And if that's the intention, like you said, if their intention is for Kevin to get their attention. Sorry, listeners, I can't speak too loud. Like I said, my daughter has been very cranky with sleeping patterns, so I can't yell Kevin the way I normally do, which is still a little subdued because once again she's usually sleeping two doors down anyway. So Kevin shoots the dildo tower, and then Lana and Simon decide, okay, we're going to throw a royal ball now. And Lana, and I always thought this was weird, like Lana, I don't know if Lana likes any guy in the end team, because she flirts with every single one of them. Okay, sorry, not everyone. With Simon and Kevin, back and forth. But with Simon, always seems like begrudgingly. But then, like, as they walk away, they're walking like arm in arm, like arms laced, which always seems like a couple thing, you know? Like something like, I don't know, that just seemed more intimate, but more than a friendly touch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was weird how they hooked them up like that. And I know it's because they were reminiscing like old times, which would be fine if they had set up their relationship as platonic from the beginning. But from the very first episode, like we've set up that Simon is a hound dog and like wants Alana's attention. So for it to be so casual like that, it didn't feel casual.
It really didn't. I'm with you. It was very confusing to me. But they walk off. They decide to throw their own ball. And Lana discovers King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard show up dressed as minstrels, but their version of minstrels, where King Hippo's wearing, he almost has like a Hulk Hogan mustache with a mohawk. And then Eggplant Wizard has what I can only describe as like Dr. Wily hair, but his mustache connects to the hair at the back of his head.
Yes. You know, so his mustache is almost like Saturn's ring. It like just goes around his head.
King Hippo is wearing like a, or is holding like a giant tuba or like sousaphone or something like that. And Eggplant Wizard, it appears to be holding, it looks like a xylophone or something, but he's holding it like it's a keytar. I maybe it was meant to be a keytar, but it very clearly looks like a xylophone from the close-ups of it. It's very I don't understand these designs.
I'm just now noticing now that his stem is a tiny beret in this costume.
It's like he just painted his stem.
Yeah.
Or plucked his leaves off and painted the cap or whatever. Yeah. I love the visuals of these designs. They're so goofy. They make no fucking sense, but it makes me smile. Like I was watching it with my daughter, and I went, I had to restrain myself from swearing in front of her, because I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why are they dressed like that? Like I was like, okay, I get it. You know, the end team's not going to trust them if they just show up to, hey, we're part of you now. We're part of the end team. But no, just not. It just doesn't make any sense. But
and the interaction that happens here as well, like as an artist, for the listeners that don't know, like what happens with them and Lana? Because like we've been saying, they've got instruments, and Lana's like, "Oh, are you musicians? I'm gonna hire you to play at the ball. Hooray!" Like, and that's it. Like, I'm not going to check your credentials. I don't even want to know what your music sounds like. You're hired. Like, that's the best news for an artist ever. Do you do art? Here, let me pay you to do art. Yay. Do you want to see what my stuff looks like? No, you're hired.
I know, right? Oh my God. It's so, you're right. I didn't even think about it. They don't even listen to see if they can even play. They just,
and I'll go ahead and spoil it now. I wrote down in my notes, wait, hold on a second, because they do a Back to the Future reference at the party where Kevin is playing the guitar like Marty McFly at the Under the Sea Ball at the end of Back to the Future. And he's playing with a Tetris people band. And I was like, oh, that's cool, Back to the Future reference. And then I was like, I wrote in my notes, wait, they hired King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to play at the ball. What the heck is going on? And they came up with completely different costumes to sneak into the ball that they were already invited to with these costumes.
Oh my God, I didn't even put those two together. I didn't, because I thought about it. She hires them and they don't even play. It's not even like they're in different costumes to play. They just show up as regular fucking people.
They're so used to dressing up in costume to sneak into places that they didn't realize that they already had their costumes to sneak into the ball.
Yep. Yeah. The next scene is the ball, and this is where you're talking about all the references and callbacks, right? Because you see, you know, Bayou Billy,
and the alligator that didn't have a background.
Yes, the and also Dr. Wily, sorry, Dr. Light shows up.
And Prince Plenty.
Prince Plenty from Congoland. I'm trying to see, like, so I'm like slowly scrolling across. You see, why is this guy here? There's at 9 minutes and 10 seconds, there's an evil looking pig in a tux, in a bow tie. And wasn't he the villain from like two episodes ago? You know, the Once Upon a Time Machine.
From Puss in Boots?
Yeah, from Puss in Boots. I don't think it's meant to be the same pig, but he looks like it because he looks evil.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've got to go back. I don't even know if I could see his face. He's on there so quickly. Yeah, that's not him. Gormand, no. Prince, or what?
But the guy Gormand? Standing to the left of him is... He seems like he'd be the bad guy in an 80s buddy cop movie with that ponytail he's got sporting. That's always what it is. But next to him is Dr. Light, then Bayou Billy, and Prince Plenty. And then the alligator actually looks like a frog because half of its face is behind Bayou Billy. But I love how everyone isn't dressed up. Like Bayou Billy is just wearing his regular pants. He's wearing a vest with no shirt on. Prince Plenty, he's from like a different culture, but he's wearing the same outfit he did before. So unless that is a fancy garb, I don't know, but I can say for certain, Bayou Billy did not dress for the occasion for certain. But then it's weird because it has a bunch of women on the other side of them, like those were their dates or something like that. But you don't see them coming in with dates, and they're all wearing the same goddamn dress. It's like this weird, like off white. And you don't ever see their faces, so you know, I guess they just didn't care.
I'm just noticing in the background too, let me jump back, in the background of the ball when Lana pulls Kevin to go dance, Mega Man is dancing with Mega Girl.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's great.
10 minutes, or I guess I should say 9:57, I think.
All right, I'm almost there.
It's in passing when they're like running, they're like dancing on the dance floor. It happens really quickly in the background.
Oh, I see them. Yeah, it's for us. That's so cool because they didn't even have to include that.
Yeah, and it looks like Mega Man's outfit is like a little bit dressed up too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you barely see them. But Link and Kevin. Make fun of each other for their fancy garbs. They start dancing. Simon asked King Hippo to dance, which was kind of amusing.
Yeah, King Hippo's dressed up in a gown in like the tall hair style from like Victorian era. Yes,
very, very Victorian. And then they totally pull an homage. I guess I'm actually jumping ahead a little bit, but the dancing scene happens. You see Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo dancing. Simon asks King Hippo to dance. And then they just book it over to Hyrule to steal the Triforce before Mother Brain gets in there and does it. So that becomes their plan. Like, you think that Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo are going to stay trying to be allies of the end team, but as soon as they find out that they're going to throw a ball and Hyrule will be empty, they're like, fuck that, we're stealing the Triforce, baby. And change course immediately, and they book it over to Hyrule to basically steal the Triforce before Mother Brain does. The scene itself of them stealing, I didn't find all that interesting. The Mother Brain coming in and just blowing away the guards was a little amusing.
She doesn't just come in though.
She doesn't.
Knock knock. Who's there? General Mother Brain's here. She enters by asking a knock knock joke and answering it herself.
What a goddamn hero. Let me tell you, only Mother Brain. See, and this is, we jumped ahead ever so slightly because before Mother Brain, actually, it might have happened because Mother Brain did, you know, we didn't jump ahead, but there, I see what you're saying. The knock knock.
Knock knock. Who's there? General Mother Brain's here.
What a great line. Yeah. So while the Triforce is getting stolen, the dance is still occurring at the ball, and Kevin is doing his best Back to the Future impression. And it's very clearly an homage to Back to the Future. Am I right? Like, he's hopping off around the stage with a guitar, 1 foot hopping. Like, it's very much something straight out of the end of Back to the Future.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Back to the Future was 85 and this was 90. So there was plenty of time for them to have been inspired by Back to the Future. And I mean, it came out around the time I was born, so I don't know firsthand, but from what I understand, it was kind of an instant classic when it came out, Back to the Future. So I'm not surprised that they were referencing it.
Yeah, and it's a fun little reference. But then in the midst of that happening, Princess Zelda collapses, because while all that was going on, King Hippo, Eggplant Wizard, stole 2 out of the 3 portions of the Triforce, and then give Mother Brain, quote unquote, the boot. Where I don't know if they even say the boot. They I think it's a punching glove. I thought he was going to say the boot, but he doesn't. He uses one of the Triforce pieces, and a giant punching glove, a giant boxing glove, comes out of nowhere, punches Mother Brain away, and you don't really see her again until the very, very end of the episode. She just kind of like, well, my plan was foiled. I do think it's weird. Oh, here's the line. He says, here, let me help you with that punchline. And he gets a boxing glove to punch her.
That's right. She starts stammering because she's surprised that they were there before her.
And I do think it's strange, though. Like, Mother, this is so, not that I, you know, I really shouldn't be analyzing Captain N this thoroughly, but that's completely against the character of Mother Brain to get rid of King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. She has stuck through them through thick and thin. And the moment that they're the ones that, you know, lower the guard at the palace, they're the ones that get the alarm to get turned off. And she would normally just tell them, okay, you go back and get it. But no, she's like, no, I'll do it this time. I'm like, all the guards were there and tried to fight you anyway. Like, even if the alarm was turned off, you just shot your way through everything. You destroyed walls, which the Triforce couldn't even do with its pieces.
That's true.
It's a ridiculous moment.
I have to say also, because I wrote this down, and now having it with closed captioning on, it makes a little more sense when they do punch Mother Brain away, because they've got the Triforce. When she came in and is surprised to see them and is like, I thought I fired you. Eggplant Wizard says, do you smell something? And King Hippo replies with a British accent, it smells like pimple in a bottle. it smells like pimple in a bottle, old chum. But I thought he said bimbo in a bottle, and that did not make sense to me. I was like, well, Mother Brain's not a bimbo.
It could be still bimbo in a bottle, because the closed captions aren't made by anyone in particular. I'm pretty sure they're machine generated.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the closed captions not make any fucking sense before with some of the stuff. So it could be bimbo, but I think pimple would make more sense only because I don't think in a kid's show they would use the term bimbo, you know. I don't think they would use that.
It's not a word I would use to describe Mother Brain either.
Like, if anything, you can maybe make the argument she's a pimple because, like, she's in a glass jar, and if it pops, you know, then blah blah blah. But I don't know. That's still a stretch.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it up to the listeners to decide what he's saying there. But I love that Gary Chalk decided to improv with a British accent there for no reason.
Shout out, Gary. Once again, absolutely adore your performance on this. Not that you're listening to this, but, you know, listeners who are curious, I mean, I feel like they would have seen it. I did an interview with Gary Chalk, which you can listen to. It came out late last year, and he was a wonderful guest. But I digress. The way they escape the palace at Hyrule with their 2 out of the 3 portions of the Triforce, which, why they don't go back for the third piece, which is just laying on the ground, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but they decide not to do it. Eggplant Wizard pulls a banana out of his cape, throws it into the corner, and it turns into a like an asparagus dildo ship.
This one's much more obvious to that description than the decoration from
it's
earlier.
It's really uncomfortable looking, too, because it's got, like, texture to it.
Well, King Hippo does call it a squash later. Why didn't you bring
a
big
it's a squash. But, like, it's clearly a banana when he pulls it out of his... that's a little dirty. I didn't mean for it that way. When he pulls the banana out of his cape. this episode is fucking insane. The N team shows up to the aftermath at the palace at Hyrule. They are able to find the one Triforce. I think it's the Triforce of Wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom, right? Yeah. And
that makes sense too, because those two are not smart.
Yeah, they get the Triforce of Courage and the Triforce of, I forget what the other one is.
Power.
I need more power. Goddamn fucking Levi Stubbs. What a champ. As Mother Brain, like, I love his performance every single time. It's a bummer that he's no longer with us. Like, I forget when he passed away, but it was a little while ago now. I think it was like early 2000s, late 90s. I'll double check actually, but he's so good as Mother Brain. And they 2008 is when he passed away. It's when Levi Stubbs passed away. But so they are using the Triforce of Wisdom to track down King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. You see an awkward shot of their asparagus. What did you call it again? A squash. There we go. His squash ship. wiggling in midair, just lending more credence to that it's a dildo. And I can't get over the design of that ship. They crash on the planet. They crash in like a desert, excuse me. And this giant sandworm comes out and it's about to attack them, but then they can use the Triforce. What is it? It's not Courage. It was the Triforce of Courage. Oh, one of the Triforce. I don't
power,
remember which.
I think.
Was it power?
I think so.
Because like each one allows them to do different things. Like it allows them to control the creature, like Ganon's creatures in Hyrule, which is why they're able to like stop the giant sandworm thing attacking them. But the moment before that happens, I just have to shout out this one moment, and it makes me chuckle. They're King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are having a big fight, and King Hippo, he's winding up, he's getting more and more emotional and aggressive, and it completely subverts it, because right when you think he's about to blow a stack, he just goes, "I'm hungry," and starts crying horribly. And we didn't talk about it before when Eggplant Wizard gave him a dirty look, but King Hippo has been obsessed with food this entire episode.
Yes, when they were coming up with the plan on sneaking into the ball and then using that to go sneak into Hyrule because they knew Zelda and Link would be gone at the ball. And they're like, "Ah, we're going to go to the ball to get the food. No, we're going to get the Triforce. Ah, so that we can get food from the servants of Hyrule." No.
He just can't get food off of his mind. And that's when Eggplant Wizard gives another one of his patented death glares. Like, you think Luigi has a death glare? Eggplant Wizard, oh man, he stares daggers into him in this episode, like multiple times, more than once. But they're attacked by the sandworm, and Eggplant Wizard goes to hug King Hippo, and the Triforce piece comes out. And Dex, have you watched the animation of how that Triforce piece comes out?
Yes.
Very much feels like they animated the scene like, "Oh, we need the Triforce to come out. Let's put another layer over top of it."
Yeah, it's like they forgot that, because they have the shot of them cowering from the sandworm.
They completely freeze, but the Triforce piece doesn't freeze.
Yeah, it's because they didn't have any more animation. They paused them, and then it's like, bloop. It's almost like After Effects, if that existed, but I know it didn't. And they're like, "Well, we forgot to do a transition scene of the Triforce falling out. All we have is them hugging and then the Triforce being on the ground." So they took a drawing of the Triforce, and they made it small. And then they like freeze the animation and pull it. They just place it on top of Eggplant Wizard's cape and then like drag it like almost like someone's dragging it with a computer mouse, like out of out of his cape, and they let it grow a little bit when it falls out. Like, it's really awkward, and then they cut to the shot of it landing on the ground. It's just really, I had to watch it like 8 times. So I was like, did that just happen? It was really jarring.
And actually another animation error, if in that same scene, if you're watching it at 14:59, but you have to scrub through it frame by frame, you can see there's a moment within that single second, you have to scrub through frame by frame, where the sandworm just loses his color. And I think it literally, the change happens in 2 frames, which makes it so much, it just looks like an instantaneous thing. Like, I think the intention was, because he sees it, he's no longer aggressive and therefore not red. But it doesn't broadcast that well at all, because it just looks like an animation error.
Yeah,
that was because he's no longer red around the outside of him, like around his shell. It's just such a bizarre. scene. I understand their intention, but it wasn't effective. Now, real quick, Dex, I'm gonna play. I know the listeners can't hear it, but I'm going to play an audio section, and I'm going to remember I said before how the closed caption isn't always a match.
Yes.
So hold on. So the line that he says is, "Hey, I forgot, with the Triforce, we can boss Ganon's servants." And that's how they find out that this happens. Well, that's why the worm kind of stands down. Well, the closed captions say, "Hey, I forgot, with the dry forces, we could boss Ganon servants."
Ganon instead of Ganon.
Instead of Triforce, it's dry forces. Like D-R-Y.
I don't know why dry forces sound so inappropriate.
I don't know. But then King Hippo, Eggplant Wizard's like, he can take us where we want to go. And King Hippo's like, okay, Stretch, take us where there's some chow. And it's silly. So then it cuts back to the end team. They're traveling through the desert. Princess Zelda is weakened still because she's missing parts of the Triforce, which that's not canon, right? Like, that's not part of Zelda lore.
About her being weakened?
Yeah, from the Triforce being separated.
Well, the way I understood the lore of the first game is that she purposely breaks the Triforce of Wisdom to keep it away from Ganon. And that's why Link has to gather it. But I don't know if that's their explanation as to why Zelda didn't escape from the first game, like escape from Ganon, because the Triforce of Wisdom was broken. Because like in the first game, the Triforce of Courage didn't even exist yet. That was a later creation. So I have no idea what their mindset was.
Neither do I. But the end team fights some more of Ganon's servants, which are just skeletons. I don't know what the technical name from the game would be, but they fight some skeletons. Yeah, I guess the Stalfos is the closest thing to it. They fight some Stalfoses. Zelda is still weakened. They fall through like a sand pit all of a sudden. I shouldn't say all of a sudden. Yeah, actually, I'm double checking. Yeah, they just suddenly fall through a sand pit, and they end up in like an underground tunnel. And Kevin's like, "Hey, I recognize this place, but it's too nuts. It can't be." And they say, "This looks like the tunnel to the island palace, but it's not where it's supposed to be." And I'm like, I understand this now. So the desert they're walking across was an ocean. That's the only way it would make sense. But it's not told in the story. It's not told in the episode. Because as soon as they fall down, they fight some weird looking cheetah monster. It's got like a semi-cheetah face.
It's supposed to be Goria or Goraya, I think is what they're called. They're the boomerang throwing little weasels from the first game.
But Link uses his shields to block those boomerangs. Then Kevin uses his power pad, jumps to the side, shoots him, and they progress on. And then it happens, you know, they end up in a swamp, and it has, it just, there's no rhyme or reason. They come out of the tunnel, which is in the middle of a tree for reasons. I guess there might be stairs going down the tree to inside the earth. I don't know, but I won't lie. That does make me want to build a cool underground like city in Minecraft, like that you get to through a tree. I know that's super random, but that sounds like a lot of fun to do. But they come out in the jungle, and then it has one of my favorite moments where all of a sudden there's a knight charging at them on a horse, and Kevin's blaster does nothing. And the way they defeat him is just by running out of the way, and he just runs into the swamp and drowns. Oh, and hold the goddamn phone. At 18 minutes, hold on, and 4 seconds, 18 minutes and 4 seconds, what the fuck did they do to Lana's face? She suddenly has like she, you know, she has generally more like effeminate features, and then in this one shot, she, I only thing I can say is like they gave her like a square. She looks like a man. Like
they gave her a Chad chin. Yeah,
they gave her a Chad chin. Sorry, a Chad chin. It's so weird. I'm trying to see, like, I'm going back frame by frame to see if, like, they change it from before, like, if it starts off as her original model and then gets more masculine as time goes on.
They also gave her very pronounced nostril, and also her nose usually points up. And yes, it's kind of, like, rounded at, like, a hard, like, nub at the end.
It honestly looks like Kevin's nose.
Yeah, yeah, I think they swapped noses because his is kind of pointy in that shot. But I think that if we're going to find something in the future referenced Captain N, we'll say that Sexy Squidward copied that.
Yeah, I could see that. But funny, though, is like Kevin's head also looks fucked up, too. Like his face looks fine, but the angle in which he's looking at Lana, his neck would be broken.
He's like an owl.
Yeah, his head is like completely 360'd around almost. But they crawl through the jungle and they find the palace where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are staying. The way they can't get up to it, though, because there's a bunch of rocks in the way. So Kevin sees this like bird monster flying at them. He pauses using his power pad, ties everyone together with a vine, and it lassos it to the foot of the flying creature, so when he unpauses, it can propel them up. It can fly up to the top of the tower, and it will. They can then get into the tower finally to rescue the pieces of the Triforce or try to get them back. They go inside, and we're getting to the end of the episode. And I'm kind of trying to rush it along because listeners, another behind the scenes, we have a very limited time frame to record these in, and I spent a bunch, like 20, 30 minutes before we even recorded, just talking to Adex. So kind of killed a little bit of our time there. But they go inside, and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are having a huge party. King Hippo's eating a shitload of food. Eggplant Wizard is dancing with a bunch of tomatoes with sexy legs, and it is horrifying to look at. The face he's making too makes no sense. Like, I genuinely don't know what to do for the thumbnail in this, Dexter. I almost feel like you need to make like 3 or 4 of them, and I'll use them as promotional material.
That's what I was gonna say. Is if you were to ever write an article or something like that, on you could just get all of the pictures for your article from this one episode.
Seriously, like everything you need to know that's wrong or right, depending on how you look at it, with Captain N can be found in this episode, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they crash the party. They trick King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard by basically saying, okay, guys, you beat us here. We'll even give you the last piece of the Triforce so that way we can, you know, keep it all together. Zelda can be okay and Hyrule won't fall apart. And they're like, okay. and they just trick him. Kevin literally kicks it out of Eggplant Wizard's hand, and then Link swipes the sword out of King Hippo's hand. They get the Triforce pieces back. They all hoist them to the sky and they're like, get out. And Zelda, actually kind of in a really badass moment when all the pieces are together and like she's like power is surging through her. She's like, get out of my kingdom. Like really fucking cool, I thought.
Yeah, I thought she was a boss at the beginning. I made a note of that. Everybody's cowering when her throne alarm is going off and she just walks up to it and turns it off. Like, whatever. Y'all are a bunch of babies.
I like Princess Zelda in this episode a lot.
Yeah.
And she's always given more to do than Princess Lana, it seems like, at least in this season. And the way the episode concludes, though, is that King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are back with Mother Brain, and they're stuffed into pool balls, and Mother Brain is just playing pool with them. And that's how the episode ends. It's just with like this really random joke of that's, you know, they're back with Mother Brain again, you know, the whole gang's been reunited. So
because the picture of them in the pool balls too would be a great thumbnail image as well.
I know it's you're a busy man, Dexter, but if you could make, I'll send you a list of the ones that I'm contemplating. We could put it up as a poll on like Twitter and or like Twitter or something like that, or like Twitter and Instagram, you know.
I'm down for that. Know.
It would be really funny to do. Oh my god, this episode is just insane. So yeah, that is episode 9 of season 2, Having a Ball, and yeah. Hands down my favorite episode of the season so far. The plot's a little rushed, like you said, like everything with the ball takes up the first half of the episode, but the last half of them, like, you know, having to wander through Hyrule, find out where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard went, and all the other stuff that would be the more exciting elements, they condense into the last 10 minutes of the episode, where the first 11 minutes are just random stuff. It's really slow paced for the first half, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta end this episode, and then they end the episode.
Yeah, the second half pacing, even though it's fast, goes a lot better. And even, you know, even with all that said, this episode does go by fast when you're watching it. At least it felt like that for me. And until you just reminded me of the name of the episode, I put in my notes, like, what's with the billiard ball joke? Like that she's hitting them like pool balls.
Well, they're having, I'm wondering a ball.
If that's it. Like, yeah, having a ball. Like, is it as simple as that? That was like the joke the writer was trying to make.
We need narrative continuity, Dexter, in our Captain Enisodes. Narrative continuity, so the good guys are having a ball and the bad guys are having a ball. Everyone's having a ball.
I like it. I like it because normally their jokes and their puns, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, are like thematic with food or something like that, and I felt like their jokes were much more random this time around.
Yeah,
like pimple in a bottle and things like that. It's like that was off the wall. Like they were funny, but they weren't thematic. I think I actually prefer that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I think I actually prefer the zaniness of it just because the themes of this show aren't that strong. So if you're trying to make jokes that work thematically, you're just tying into an element of the show that I don't enjoy. But when they're just zany and off the top, out like crazy, I kind of enjoy them a little bit more. Though I still think the best joke in the entire show is from season 1, where King Hippo turns Metroid into his own world. Yeah. And they pick up a phone, the end team picks up a phone, and they're like, what if it's booby trapped? And then like, oh, don't worry, I can handle that. And Mega Man picks up the phone and Eggman Wizard goes, hello booby, here's a trap, and then punches him like through the phone. Best joke of the whole show, hands down. Though this episode did have a couple decent jokes. I actually thought King Hippo just being hungry all the time was funny. And the joke of him literally being like, oh, then they can feed us and then we can get food from there. And Eggplant Wizard's like, fucking, like, no, that's not what it is. Like getting so fed up with it. that was 100% worth it, in my opinion. But we got to wrap up this episode, Dex. We're going a little bit long for a mini-sode. So that was episode 9, Having a Ball from season 2, episode 9, Having a Ball from Captain and the Game Master. Dexter, as usual, thank you so much for joining me. And to close us out, where can the good people find you online?
Knock, knock, who's there? On Twitter and on Instagram.
That's a good callback.
You'll find me. Just search for my name, Dexter Morrill, Dexter Morrill. I'll be on there. I'll be sharing my artwork or sharing other stuff, usually video game related or video game history related, or stuff on this show. But you can follow me on there, and I will try to say something funny.
Well, I think you're pretty damn funny myself, but as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because I don't know if it actually helps when people find it, but it makes me feel warm and fuzzy, and I like feeling warm and fuzzy. So you can do that. If you want to support the show monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod for $1 a month. You get all the episodes a few days earlier at a higher bitrate, as well as voting rights access to help choose future topics of the show, which at the time this episode is coming out, the first one, actually, it was literally the previous week's episode. It was Spec Ops The Line was the first patron poll topic. And I'm actually, it reminds me, I need to post today, because the day we are recording this is the beginning of the next patron poll topic, where I picked 4 DS games to play, and I'm gonna give it up to the listeners to see, or to the patrons, to see which one I should play and cover for the podcast. So that's all at the $1 level. For the $4 level, you'll get all of that at the $1 level, plus 2 mini bonus episodes a month. And then at the $5 level, you'll get everything I mentioned before: the bonus episodes, the early access, and the voting rights, plus access to Still Bonding, which is a Patreon exclusive podcast where it's a monthly show where my friend and I, Erica, bond over 007. Each episode is 2.5 to 3 hours long. So the time this comes out, we will be getting close to our Live and Let Die episode. It's either coming out next week or it's already out or something along those lines, but it'll be coming out very soon. And there is a lot of content. As if that's the 8th Bond movie. So if you think each episode's 2.5 to 3 hours, you're looking at like over 20, like 16 to 20 hours of content alone there. So actually more than that, I guess. But in any case, that's over at patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And of course, the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that's all the time we have for you today. Dexter, thank you once again for joining me.
Absolutely. Always a blast. Having a ball.
And we will think of you the next time we play video games.